Thank you. Me too. Thank you.
As we grow and expand and enlarge our territories.
Prayer to God.
That's right.
Enlarge. Thank you, Gabriella. And Anne Marie, thank you for sharing that daily word. That's a good daily word. Where are you?
Yes.
Hey, girl. That's good. The creative energy of spirit expresses through me. I bring my divine gifts to life through my creativity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be here together with you guys today. As I try to suddenly do this thing that won't go and drop water wherever it dropped. And, you know what? Let's have a moment of prayer. Let's have a moment of prayer. Prayer is where it's at. Let's have a moment of prayer to get in the groove. Take a breath. We come together today in love and in gratitude. Gratitude. Feel the gratitude in the room. And we now open our hearts and minds to receive divine wisdom. The divine wisdom that is unique to each one of us. And may we be instruments of peace and unity. Thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
And singing is praying twice, right?
Yes.
Well, we need some music. Lady D,
yes.
We haven't heard from Dakota yet. Will you come on up? I know it's afternoon. And I know that, come on out.
Okay.
Don't you wait.
Don't wait.
Like your head thing.
Time waits for no man.
So, just in case anybody is not completely fully awake yet from that Gaia-licious exercise we did, look us up.
Sleeping in bed, no more thinking. I'm thinking ahead.
I love how you do that. You play it out like a great album.
Because I got soul.
I know you got soul. We know you got soul. Clear, that's going to be. Thank you for the coming. Thank you, Ray. Okay, are you all awake? Yeah. Oh, people, bless your heart. I know, this book just isn't, we're in person, I can see you. Are you awake?
Yes!
Sweet Jesus. We need to be awake right now. We need to be awake. We need to know where our faith is right now. Where are we placing our faith in our life right now? Now, Brother Jesus, he talks about faith in that little parable of the mustard seed. Now, he was talking about little grains of sand. Well, mustard seed is not much bigger. In the Gospel according to Matthew, you know, in the Bible, don't be scared. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Now, parables, they're short, fictitious stories about everyday life to teach a lesson to illustrate a deeper message, right? Now, not to ruin the whole story, but that is not likely to happen. Telling a mountain to move and having it jump into the sea. The parable is all about our faith. Our faith, our faith, our faith. And the mustard seed, metaphysically, I mean, here we are in unity, right? What does the mustard seed represent? Potential. Potential. It's teeny tiny, yet it has everything it needs within it to grow, to express in all its glory. Despite its little size, the mustard seed has incredible potential. So now, if we're going to talk about faith today, we first got to ask, what exactly is faith? Because, you know, it's a very popular word. It's scattered all over the Bible. And according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We've all heard that, right?
Yes.
Unity's co-founder, hold on. Is the ability to believe with confidence, to believe with confidence, to spiritually intuit, to know that you know, to know that you know that you know, to have conviction. And at its highest level, faith is directed by our spiritual nature. And it goes so deep, it really can't be explained. Now, faith that we're talking about, Charles Fillmore was talking about, is based on truth with a capital T, divine laws, divine principles, regardless of whatever appears to be going on around us. Is that good news?
Yes.
Regardless of anything going on around us. And a man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had faith that certainly did change the world. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Right? Every journey begins with the first step. You have to take the first step assuming that the rest of them are going to be there. It's like they're in the fog, but you have to trust and know it. That's faith. even if you have doubts and fears. Now certainly, that old staircase had not come into view when Dr. King took those first steps as a pivotal figure of the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. But like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we all have that same ability. We all have that ability to embark on a journey of faith and to tap into our divine power and to more fully express the Christ in us. Now, I will tell you who also had some faith, and that was Charles' bride. For the sake of Halloween, we'll call her Bride of Chucky. Merlin! Get his other co-founder. And I want to share a little something with you from a very powerful book of hers that some of you have heard of and some of you have read called How to Let God Help You. This is a good book. This is on the chapter of the law of supply. You say your world is not bounded like mine, with peace, friends, happiness, prosperity, love, plenty, and blessings of all kinds. Well, how do you know what my world is? You are using your imagination and picturing my world to yourself. You're using the same imagination and bounding and picturing your own world. But see how differently you are using this wonderful formative faculty. We're going to get at the prosperity consciousness now and develop your inner spiritual resources and teach you how to use them to supply whatever need could ever arise. When you look at your all-seeing, all-discerning eyes of faith, you see God's abundance manifesting to meet every need of yours. So practice seeing with this inner eye that beholds the eternal verities of being. The more you exercise this eye, the better you will see with it. You would not think of closing your eyes and walking around saying that you can't see and you don't know where you're going. So why close your eye of omniscience by saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Repeatedly affirm that you do know. That is the way to make your wisdom work for you and guide you in paths of plenty. When the way seems dark, pray for spiritual illumination and guidance. And bring all your little thought people, all those thoughts into the light. You will become a radiant center of light, joy, and optimism. Now, when we are endeavoring to listen, to understand, and to follow our divine guidance from the very spiritual center of our own soul, we find that every wind that blows, whether it appears at first to be good or ill, does fill us with the spirit of plenty. Because the winds are evidence of God's ideas and substance, and plenty is the one reality. So we may rejoice in our prosperity and use it day by day in full assurance that it will never fail. She says, there was a time when my husband, Charles, was sick, without funds. You would not have seen anything in that early environment in life of ours to give peace and happiness. We had no idea. We didn't know where we were going to get our food or clothes or money to pay our debts. We didn't have anyone to pray for us or to offer suggestions of truth. These things we had to find for ourselves in the heart of God. Those about us thought us more than a little off because we talked of God as our health and our supply. and we helped others get well. We found that God had ways to provide for our needs. We kept on trusting and rejoicing in all the truth that came to us. We began to make new friends who brought others. And here we are today. Myrtle had an enormous faith. Faith is clearly a foundation of unity. According to Charles Fillmore, it's one of our 12 powers. Has anyone never heard of the 12 powers? Okay, good. Good. Because Charles believed that there are 12 faculties of mind in each one of us. He believed that each one of these 12 faculties of mind has a center in a specific area of the body. He also believed that these 12 faculties were symbolized in the New Testament by the 12 disciples. And there's even a corresponding color to each faith, each power. So, we're talking about faith. The location of our spiritual gift of faith is located, who knows where? Well, the close, in the center, in the pineal gland, right there. Yeah. The pineal gland is a small, this makes it sound very scientific. The pineal gland is a small, cone-shaped endocrine organ in the posterior forebrain that secretes melatonin and is involved in our biorhythms, among other things, even neonatal development. It's basically located in the middle of your head, right between your ears and your eyes. It's right there in the center. And the color that's associated with faith is deep blue. Like the deepest parts of the ocean. Ooh, the sky at twilight. I love that color. And the disciple that's associated with faith is Peter, who was the very first disciple called by Jesus. Peter's faith was weak and inconsistent until Jesus taught him how to use his faith. Do you remember when Peter tried to walk on the water? Do you remember that story? Some of you? Yeah. He was actually doing it, and then he began to doubt, and he got freaked out because of the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand to Peter. Peter was doing just fine with what seemed to be impossible. Then when he thought about the conditions all around him out there, the apparent impossibility of walking on water happened. He came to his senses. You know what came to his senses, man? I mean, he became realistic in that moment. I can't do this. How many people in your life, you don't have to answer, have reminded you to be realistic about something that's really important to you? A dream you have, or a desire. I don't want to go off on the tangent and don't throw pearls before swine right now, but I am making it a Bible Sunday here. But listen, when we come to our senses, we are doing just that. We're focusing on our senses, our sense consciousness, looking to all those outer conditions and limitations. The ego voice speaks up about all the reasons that you can't and shouldn't be doing something, because our ego is clever and very well intentioned. It really needs to be helping us out. And you know, there are just times when our faith wavers. Life happens. Have you ever set a financial goal, knowing without a doubt that you can reach it? You're really clear about it. Then you sit down with your computer and you look at your accounts or your checkbook or you hear a news report and you begin to sink in the water, just like Peter. Has that ever happened to anybody? Or some unexpected event happens and you feel overwhelmed, helpless, or some responsibility is thrust on you, and it seems as impossible to handle as moving a mountain. And then, the Christ in you gives you its hand of spiritual power, and the wind stops, and you remember the truth. Remember, Matthew 17:20 states, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Really move a mountain? Again, it's not literal. This is really talking about the mountains of fear that sometimes overtake us. We've all been there. Way too much for comfort and too many times to count. Or at least, if those times when the fear feels as though it's overtaking us. I move mountains of doubt, lack, and fear through faith in my divine nature. I move mountains of doubt, fear, and lack through faith in my divine nature. Okay, I want you to repeat this after me, okay? I move mountains of doubt, fear, and lack. I move mountains of doubt, fear, and lack through faith in my divine nature. Through faith in my divine nature. Hallelujah! That sounded good. I heard it, we're all witness. Do you know that fear is faith in reverse? They can't work together. It's impossible. And we've all heard acronyms for fear, especially in Unity. Unity loves its acronyms. I love any acronym. Fear, say it with me if you know it. False evidence appearing real. But the one that I like way better than that is fear, forgetting everything's all right. Yes?
Yes.
Whew. Have you all actually ever seen a mustard seed?
Yes.
Has anyone not seen one? Well, Terry sees it. Interesting little thing that you are, that you raised your hand because they are teeny tiny. They're maybe 2 to 3 millimeters in diameter. There's like, and for me, mustard seeds, they really represent. Oh, I need a pointer now. We can totally make it. Oh, Leo, thank you. Leo, you're the best. I mean, that's tiny. It's tiny. And it represents the willingness to have faith. That's what it represents. Or sometimes the willingness to have the willingness, right? Sometimes you gotta be willing to be willing to be willing when you're just not there yet, excuse me. And do you have any idea, I'm going to throw a curve over at Leo. Do you have any idea how large a mustard plant grows from that teeny tiny seed? Well, Leo is quite the baseball player. And I love that none of you could see the visual aid in the back from Anne Marie. She's like, they're acting not going. They can grow 20 to 30 feet tall. That's tall, y'all. Birds hang out in the mustard tree and they provide shade. I don't know if you can put a swing on that, but you know. From that little tiny seed. Now here's the deal. If a mustard seed is planted and then it gets ignored, there's still a chance that nature will run its course and it will grow into a big, beautiful mustard plant. But the surest way to get a mustard plant from the seed is to care for it, to water it, fertilize it, nurture it. It's not enough to declare your faith or your willingness to be willing to have faith. You gotta take action, a step of faith, even when you don't see the whole staircase. It's our fifth unity principle. Pray and move your feet. So what does this mean? It's a reminder that we are in partnership with God. We have to do our part. And if we don't know what that is, ask. Pray. Get still. Shut up. Listen. Ask, what is mine to do? Your job is to take care of the possible and to let God take care of the impossible. Right? Know that you know, tell the universe you are serious. You're serious about this. Do the inner work that is necessary to have the life that you want, because you deserve to have an amazing life. We all do. You wouldn't be here on planet Earth if you weren't here to have an amazing life. Faith does move mountains, or appear to, the things that appear to be mountains. When you feel alone, when you feel helpless, or when you feel like this stuff you know from Unity, from classes, from Sundays, from books, from workshops, from documentaries on Netflix with Brené Brown, whatever it is you're doing. When you feel like it just isn't working, we have those times. And I hate to break it to you, but you can know all of this stuff until your brain is full, full, full. You can spout it till the cows come home, what page it's on, and what book it's in. But if you don't have it in that deep place of knowing in you, that deep place, that place of faith, it's just going to be a bunch of ideas. Unity is practical. Christianity, practical spirituality, which doesn't mean good common sense. It means you practice it. You practice it. We sometimes forget who we are. We do. We have struggles on this journey called life. And when you work your faith muscles, the other systems, the other powers within you respond when you work one muscle. Remember as a kid, when you knew things were possible, you didn't question it. You didn't know to question it. When you were concerned how something was possible in the least, you had childlike faith. The world was full of infinite possibilities. Santa Claus. You saw things in the clouds. Childlike faith is focusing on the Christ in us instead of focusing on our human fears. A friend of mine one time told me a great story about her brother when she was a kid. At least I think it's a great story. They grew up alone. And there was this little patch of dirt in the yard right next to their house. It was supposed to be for a flower bed. It was a patch of good intentions. But nothing was ever planted in the flower bed, in the to-be flower bed. So my friend's little brother decided there should be a tree there. So he found a stick and he stuck it in the dirt. They laughed, oh, that's so cute. Oh God, he stuck a stick in the dirt. Because of course the stick was dead. But he watered it and took care of it anyway. He simply had faith. Well, apparently Today there is a huge tree that looks like it's growing out of the side of that house where you planted that dead stick. And all because this kid believed the stick would grow into a tree. Do you remember ever having that kind of childlike faith? This stuff is simple, but it's not easy. It does get easier, and it's still not easy. So where are we placing our faith? Out there? Which is totally easy to do, especially with all that's going on in the world around us right now. And good God, there's an election next week that will determine every single thing about my life. Not. God, the Christ within me, is my president, my senator, my congressman, my mayor. I am the United States of me, and God knows there are a lot of states of me. So, let's talk about how to really apply this stuff. Lewis, did I give you the handouts? I have handouts today to make sure you stay with me. Thanks, if you can hand those out. Yes, I have literally printed out instructions for this meditation that we are going to do. This is a brief meditation on how to exercise your faith muscle. If we are going to practice this stuff, we need instruction on how to do it. Prayer and meditation is the best way to strengthen your faculty of faith, to develop it. When you're going through challenges, dealing with our circumstances, that's more a testing of your faith than a working on your faith. It is an opportunity. And most of us have heard before that studies have shown that it takes 21 days to form a new habit. So this is a 21-day challenge for you. So when you are doing this at home for the next 21 days, you might find your own words to substitute for the words on this little page. But for today, I invite you to be willing and open just to allow these words in. So let's get still a bit of our inner gym. We can start our 21 days of strengthening our faith right here, right now. So put your feet flat on the floor. And if you have anything in your lap, if you have room, if you're willing to set it aside, just set it aside. Let this send a signal that this moment is yours. Nothing in the past, nothing in the future. So you don't need to read this with me. You can just fully take it in. You can read it if you'd like. You can look at the beautiful visual. There's that beautiful color blue that represents faith. So we begin this meditation by sitting quietly and simply focusing on the breath, your breath, our breath. And allow yourself to become more relaxed with each breath. Cool air in. Warm air flowing back out. Connecting us to all there is. And now focus your attention on the crown of the head, which represents the Christ center. And think a thought similar to this. The Christ consciousness is quickened in me. The Christ consciousness is quickened in me. Just move your focus down to your forehead, which represents the conscious level of mind. And realize that you are consciously aware that the Christ consciousness is being quickened in you. Say or think, I am aware that the Christ consciousness is quickened in me. I am aware that the Christ consciousness is quickened in me. And now let your center of attention travel up to the middle of your head, the faith center, directly behind your third eye, and affirm that the Christ in me calls forth Peter, my disciple faculty of faith. According to my faith, be it done to me. According to my faith, be it done to me. According to my faith, be it done unto me. And that's our signal to come out of the silence. And conclude this short and powerful meditation simply by saying, I am grateful together. I am grateful. And so it is. Amen. Instruction manual right there. And I hope you will give yourself the gift of doing this meditation to strengthen your power of faith. And you've only got 20 days to go. I have lots of great books, and I found a little something here. And it's called The Gospel According to You. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read by more than a few. But the one that is most read and commented on is the Gospel According to You. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day by the things that you do and the words that you say. People read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Do others read truth and love in your life? Or has yours been too full of malice and strife? Does your life speak of evil? Or does it ring true? Say, what is the gospel according to you? Every choice you make makes you. Ooh. I want you to remember that you matter. You really matter. Who you are and what you are here to do on planet Earth is important. Live the amazing life you want. dare you. You never know the impact you might have on someone at any place, at any time, and we know that. You already have the power of faith, so use it. It's right there. The pineal gland, between your eyes and ears on the inside. Work it. Create the meaningful and abundant life that you want. Do the meditation, 20 more days. And you don't need to stop there. That's just a start. It's just a moment of a completion. And when your faith falters, because it will, you're still on that earth. Cut yourself some slack. Give yourself some love. And take a step of faith, even when you don't see the whole staircase. How about that's the ending? We're alive. But there's one more paragraph at the end of this chapter from Myrtle Fillmore's book. We can learn valuable lessons on every side when our minds are alert. So get busy using the truth you know. Love those about you in a practical way and pay no attention to what others are doing insofar as to make comparisons. Bring forth your own joyous world of love, friendship, beauty, and plenty. God is giving everything required to build such a world. There is within you the God-given intelligence to build such a world. So get at it. And remember this. When you have come to the edge of all, I'll let you know, and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. You will either be given something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. And when God must succeed, and so it is. You try to sing this out, will you?
Thank you.
Sometimes.